The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
You're listening to The Sunday Grill here on Beat 102-103. And our Megan from Beat's Most Wanted and The Takeover headed to the Gossies pink carpet last weekend. Quite off the cuff, wasn't it?
Very much so, yes.
How much notice were you given?
Well, it was kind of in the works for like a week, and I was just, you know, when you're waiting to hear back on emails, and I was like, I don't know what's going on. Have I got the media accreditation? And then on Friday, I was like, I need to follow up. If I'm going, I need to know what time, because it was on the Saturday. So then it was like 4 o'clock on Friday, and she was like, yeah, no, that's all sorted for you. And I was like, oh, damn, I am going now. I need to get an outfit.
Panic stations. Well, off she went in a fabulous suit. You can check it out on our socials if you just search for Beat 102-103. And Megan met lots of stars, including Carlo influencer Lauren Whelan and model, author, podcaster, self-proclaimed queen of reality and singer Katie Price, once known as Jordan. Did you know who she was?
Yes, I knew who she was. Now, I don't know a huge amount about her background, but she was always in the media, you know, growing up. So, yeah, I was astonished when I seen her. I was like, wow. You're okay. Like, she is exactly what you expect her to be.
I can imagine. And again, you can see what Megan means on if you head over to our Instagram to check out the video there. But Katie had lots of things to say to Megan, and she started off with a bad mimic, I have to say, of the Irish accent.
I think so. Thank you.
So what about Mother's Day? What's the plan for Mother's Day?
Mothers say, well, I don't know, I've got 5 kids, so I better do something for me.
Yeah, that is very true.
Remember, I'm a mother of 5, believe it or not. Yes. I'm the biggest kid, though.
Well, in all your life, you've done so much extensive work for charity. You've bounced back from everything that's happened to you. You've been very open with it, especially on youth women, which is amazing. Like, how do you stay so resilient?
Because I suppose I have to. Yeah. It's hard, but I do it.
I feel like that's like the most surprising thing about you, isn't it? Like, yeah, people so don't know what you go through, what she's been through, what she goes through, and how like resilient she is and stuff. It is amazing.
So he sees a different side to me. Although my life is very much out there, he gets to see the real me, and I'm actually quite bonkers, aren't I?
Yeah.
Tell us something
that.
About the real
him. Come on,
tell us.
I'll keep my mouth shut, but she's amazing. She's got so much energy. She's so much fun to be around. And she's such a lovely person.
Do you know what?
Yeah, that's it.
Who knows? We may have been messaging 2 years ago.
Oh.
It's fate.
Katie, you've been to Dublin a lot. What's your favourite thing about coming to Ireland?
I miss Crystal. Do you remember the club Crystal?
I do.
And I've got Claudine on the table. And Robbie Keane. So I was messaging her before I come, and we was talking about the last time I was here. I think it was the VIP awards or something. Oh my God. And we ended up in Crystal, and they don't do that now. It's so long ago.
Is it a bit boring since COVID here?
Yeah, but everything is. No, it's never boring. When I'm here, I light up the life.
What about Coppers? Did you ever go to Copper Face Jacks?
Wherever I was dragged, I went, but I wouldn't know.
Have you ever been anywhere down south? So Carlo, Westford, Tip, Kilkenny.
I might have done club PAs there, like the photographer over there. He's known me since I was 20, since I've been doing club PAs here. And he's like an old man now, and it's like, I must be old as well.
Did you recognise him?
Yeah, I've met him at my masterclass with Kira, because Kira done my hair. Everyone knows Kira for the hair. So I love being back. It's nice to see faces, fresh faces. And yeah, you could be all night talking to me. Aren't you bored yet?
No, I'm never going to get bored. Absolutely not. And next week, along with Mother's Day, we've got International Women's Day. So what would be a piece of advice you'd give to your younger self?
I wouldn't have been with all the men I'd been with. Men have ruined my life, but I've met a good one now.
Yeah, but do you not think it makes us?
No, they destroyed me. But I've got good kids out of it. I just think I jumped into relationships, insecure. But now I know what I really want. So I wasn't even looking for anyone. And then he's come along, so it's actually perfect.
That's what they say when you're not looking for
it. I wasn't. Neither was he.
Celebrity years ago. Would you ever do anything now, coming up more realities or anything planned?
I am the queen of reality, as you know. I've done so... I can't even tell how many shows I've done. I actually don't even know. I've done so many. That was the Jordan days. It's mad. But yeah, I pick and choose what I do now.
You have a live podcast.
Go on.
Yes, we're on tour in May with my sister. We are going to come to Ireland. We're going to do England first. And I said to her, we've got to come to Ireland.
Yes, you have to come
we
to
do.
Ireland.
We do. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, let's have a great day.
Thank you so much. Enjoy.
She's not doing herself many favours with that Irish accent.
She should stop now accents are not her thing.
No. That boyfriend there, that was his first time on the pink carpet or any carpet.
As a couple together, it was their debut appearance. So it was the first outing in public.
And he's on Married at First Sight. So he was a bit of a celeb in his own right.
Yeah, I think he had his own little lane that he was in. And their paths obviously crossed somewhere along the line.
So
he seemed very shy and quiet,
but he seemed to really big her up as well. Like, he seemed to know an awful lot about her.
Yeah, to be fair, they seem happy together.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's all that matters.
Absolutely,
really.
It is.
So you met lots of other people, lots of Southeast influencers and well-known faces as well.
Yeah, so Sinead de Butlier, she's an influencer. Niamh de Bruin, who's obviously married to Kilkenny hurler TJ Reid. Who else from the South? I think that's kind of the Southeast side of things.
And then, of course, the Carlo.
Lauren Whelan. Lauren Whelan, who said, I asked her the best thing about Carlo, and she said the chippers. And she said Milano's, which is where a staple after a night out. So,
and also, and check out our socials for this as well. You told her she was the most famous person in Carlo.
You know when you panic, and I was on the spot and I was like, I don't know what I'm saying. I was like, you're like one of the biggest superstars to come out of Carlo. And now I'm like looking back and I was like, Brian, please don't post that part. And he's like, but it's good. Because then he's like, Saoirse Ronan. And I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, I was just in the moment.
She was very funny when she said, oh, don't, poor old Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah, she had a good reaction to that. But she was really, really lovely. And I got to meet some Love Island stars as well.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the video.
No, I didn't see this one.
Tell me. So Casey, he was on the Love Island All Stars, which is the most recent series, was there. And he was really nice. And he was saying that he'd never been on dates before. So, you know, I put myself out there.
And
I said, are we going for tea or coffee tomorrow? And he said, yeah, let's do it. So,
I did see that. he kind of gave you a bit of a side hug, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got on well. But I can confirm there has not been a date yet.
You've been ghosted. Does he have your number?
No, I sent him to his DMs.
Did you?
Everyone in the office was like, go for it. Like, what have you got to lose? And I was like, do you know what? And I went to Stephen Bartlett on Sunday and he was like, if you don't send the messages, you'll never know. So Sho was like, do it. What would Stephen Bartlett say? So, you know, I shooted my shot. I did not score.
And that has not been received yet.
No.
Yes, Megan.
Emphasis on the
That's
yes.
That's all you need to think of. And what's it like? Is there a great buzz? I think we see it all on social media and it looks all so glamorous, but I'm sure there's just such hard work that goes on behind the scenes.
Oh yeah, like it is actual chaos kind of, because they're all coming down the pink carpet and there's different, you know, at the very start, like I was at the very end, so at the very end of the carpet to do interviews. But like at the start, they have like interviews like with thegoss.ie, and then they have like photographers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then like I'm there interviewing. So like if I'm interviewing and someone's walking past and I'm like, I want to get them for an interview. And one of the people actually I got was Grainne Shoiga. Huge shout out to her.
Of course.
I was buzzing from Grar and Tra.
Yeah.
So that happened with her. She was walking past and I was like, in the middle of an interview, I was like, I want to get her. And then I was like, how do I not seem rude to these people? But like, it's just very, it's go. And then like, then the minute like the pink carpet's gone, like it's just so quiet in the hallway in the corridor,
and then
the event.
Have to go.
Well, I did sneak in to have a little look. They weren't like kicking us out or anything. And I'd say I could have stayed for the event, but I was like, they know I'm not supposed to be here.
And you'd Milano's the chipper to go to anyway in Carlo.
Exactly,
so, you know,
exactly. But yeah, a great buzz, and everyone was so nice and kind, because I was so nervous. I honestly was like in the car on the way up, I was like, I don't know, I'm panicking now. But like once you get there and you're chatting to people,
exactly.
It's grand.
Yeah, lovely. Well, well done. Great chats all up on our socials if you want to check them out. And as I said, a great suit, a really good choice for the pink carpet.
Penny's best.
Well done. Good stuff. Thanks a million, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Talk to you soon.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
It is the Sunday Grill here on Beat 102 and 103. And believe it or not, Cat Laughs in Kilkenny celebrates its 30th edition of the festival this summer. It's going to have a gala night celebration and two shows in the Pembroke and Kilkenny City. The June Bank Holiday Comedy Festival has been part of the fabric of Kilkenny City, and it's been the start of many a comedian's career. The man behind Ireland's annual crack pilgrimage is Richard Cook, and he joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning with some Cat Laugh memories. You're very welcome, Richard.
Thanks, Orla.
Hard to believe that it's the 30th edition. So you started in 1995, so we're not saying 30th birthday, but this will be the 30th Cat Laughs.
It'll be the 30th Cat Laughs. It will, yeah. I know, which is kind of good and bad because it makes you feel kind of feel old, but at the same time, kind of proud a little bit. And I didn't really feel it for the 21st birthday or even the 25 years, but I sort of feel 30 years is a kind of a landmark. I think in terms of tens, yeah.
Oh, totally. Kilkenny is known for many things, but I think if you mention Kilkenny to people who are not from there, they would say hurling and comedy. And they're two very different beasts, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are. Well, I would say they would say the hurling the castle possibly
the
in
castle.
Comedy as well.
Yes.
I think, you know, and in fairness, there's other events that have sprung up and done very well there. But I think at the time, I suppose, look, Orla, at the time when the first one happened, there was just very, well, there was no other kind of comedy festival happening pretty well anywhere in certainly not in Ireland, and not much happening in Britain. There was the Edinburgh Festival, then there was the big festival in Montreal in Canada, and then one in Melbourne. And I suppose in a way it was just, it kind of heralded the summer for people. It was something new, something different. It was a lot of fun for a lot of people. And I suppose it kind of had that impact, a very big impact, I would say. And also we had an awful lot of star comedians because there wasn't the power of television or film at that time in the way that it is attracting them. And we were able to get them. And there was no competition for us to be able to get them. So it was kind of, it was a perfect kind of coming together of events, and I think Kilkenny was the perfect city to do it in, and look, it just took off, you know.
And what triggered you to do this? I know you were talking about Montreal and Edinburgh, and I suppose Edinburgh is very close to home. But what was it about Kilkenny in particular that made you think that this would work? And Ireland as well, because even though we had lots of comedians and easy to book, you still have to get people over here and to a city that a lot of people who aren't from here possibly didn't know.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the magic of it. They didn't know it. And then when they come to Kilkenny, they go, wow, it's kind of special, kind of Harry Potter-ish or something. Although, of course, Harry Potter wasn't around at that point. But I suppose, look, I set up a theatre company called Bickerstaff with Lynn Cahill, and we used to do new plays in the back of Clears. And that was kind of the genesis of it. I kind of wanted to do something that was linked to theatre, that was also, and one person performing or expressing their ideas from a stage, kind of, there is a trace back to Thespis performing from his cart. And I kind of felt, look, there is a link there. But I also, after doing the Confederation Festival, I did a production of, or we did a production of Macbeth at Kilkenny Castle, which gave me a taste for scale. And I kind of wanted to do something that was linked to what we were already doing, but was of a bigger scale. So that's where the birth of the idea of Cat Laughs came up.
Wow. Was that stressful, that scale?
It was kind of stressful. I suppose in a way, I have a healthy attitude towards money. I made it very clear to anybody that would care to listen that I owed and we owed a lot of money. We lost a lot of money at the end of the first festival, but we paid all the small amounts, all the people that it was important for them to sustain their business or their livelihood. And the kind of the places that we owed money to were big institutions, big places that could absorb it. For the time being, and of course, then as the festival went on, we paid everybody in full, of course. But at the time, I felt that if I could do that, that there was enough magic around the first event to sustain it. Although in truth, we did the second one to pay for the first one.
Okay.
So,
as many festivals do.
Exactly.
Take us back to 1995. It's hard to believe that we're talking about 1995 as if it's three decades ago. That's one thing I find mad. But what was, you know, when we think of Kilkenny now, we think of it so cosmopolitan and mixing history with culture and, you know, hen parties. And what was it like back then? Was it quite similar?
Well, I kind of like, I mean, one of the things about Kilkenny that I found always very attractive is it's, I would say it's kind of culturally neutral or politically neutral in a sense that if I tried to do this in Dublin or Cork or even Galway, there'd be a lot of difficulties. There'd be a lot of hurdles, obstacles. The attitude in Kilkenny was very much like, we're not going to get in your way. We're not going to necessarily massively support you, but we won't get in your way. And I quite like that. So in a sense, it gave me the opportunity and Lynn the opportunity to do what we wanted to do and to kind of fulfill our ambition. And that was enough for me.
Good stuff. And did it all go smoothly? Like any mishaps Are you along joking? The way?
We made so many schoolboy errors. It was quite funny. I mean, I have to credit two promoters, one called Noel Faulkner and one called Peter Graham, who managed to secure most of the UK acts because I didn't know enough about the UK circuit as to who we should be booking. And they really helped in the first, I would say, 3 to 4 years in terms of booking great acts from the UK and talking about Kilkenny to them. Because it was such a different time. I mean, you know, you kind of rang people in those days, you know, to talk about a thing. And you sent faxes if you were brave enough. And those days were so different. But I suppose in a way, like looking back at it, I did feel if you took a commercial idea, which essentially Cat Laughs was, or a commercial proposition, and ran it like an arts festival or an arts event, then you'd have something special. And that's really what we tried to do.
Now, as we said at the start, Cat Laughs started off so many comedians' careers. Do any of them stand out to you?
Well, it's very difficult. I would be very reluctant to claim credit for that. I think what I did find, though, was that it was an opportunity for Irish comedians to measure themselves and their standard with the comedians that historically they would have looked up to. Mm-hmm. And I think what was really interesting, Orla, in the first 1 or 2 years, people would buy tickets for the American and the UK comics and not the Irish comics. And then as the years went by, more people became interested in the Irish comics. And there was probably a period of time, I would say about 2002 to 2004, where it was great because you could put an Irish, an American or a UK comic on any part of the bill and people would be happy. After that, people became more and more obsessed with Irish comedy and Irish comedians. And what would happen is if the Irish comedian didn't close the set, a load of people would leave after they'd finished.
Oh, okay.
So it was really interesting. So that was a huge change. And I think there was a huge pride as well in realizing how good they were, how good Irish stand-ups were. And I think that's something that I'm proud of. As a measuring device, Cat Laughs was a great leveler. And I think it did show and did give, I think, a lot of confidence to a generation of Irish comedians that may not have been there before, because ultimately it was the international bar and that was kind of it for stand-up at that time.
And I always felt as well, if they were on Kilkenny Cat Laughs and did well, suddenly they'd start appearing on BBC and things like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I know that's their own work and what they're doing, but I suppose the Cat Laughs was a great stage for comedians.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Orla. But also you would find that producers of those shows would come to Cat Laughs. Mm. You know, they would come over to look at Irish stand-up and also American stand-up at times. And I think a lot of important partnerships were born there and a lot of people got opportunities inadvertently from playing there. And, you know, that's something that I'm really happy about. I think it's really good if you can put together a platform that has delivers other opportunities outside of its core set of values, which is providing entertainment for its audience. And they definitely did happen, particularly, I would say, in the first 10 to 15 years. And obviously then what happened is loads of other comedy festivals sprang up around the world, including obviously in Ireland and loads of comedy festivals as well. So it became a different animal. And actually, there was a period of time when Kilkenny was so crazy busy that I think a lot of natives in Kilkenny, a lot of locals just exited the city because it was just too much. Mm-hmm. And I felt that and I could feel why they would do that. Whereas I kind of feel now, particularly with what Angela Squire has done and something that I discussed with the previous artistic director or director, Nisha Nunn, the idea that what we would do is bring in a lot of new stand-up. We did that last year for the first time and it really freshened it up. Mm. But I feel now that Cat Laughs is at a really nice phase of its evolution whereby I think the city likes this festival again, I'm really happy about
that. Yeah, it's part of the fabric. And just before I let you go, and I think I asked this question to so many different types of guests that come on to the Sunday Grill, but social media, has social media changed comedy, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it has done. I mean, TikTok has definitely changed. I mean, people can see tiny snippets of things. People can become stars overnight through their...
Can they do a stand-up show?
But yeah, well, it's very interesting. But I take a comedian like Chris Kent, who's a wonderful comedian who's been plying his trade for about 15 years. And he's worked social media in the last, I would say, year and a half brilliantly, to the extent now that he is one of the biggest selling Irish comedians. And that has happened really through his extraordinary work. Well, it's a talent, obviously, but how he's managed to connect that with his social media work. So you can, I mean, and then there are some people who are just brilliant on social media and you stick them in front of an audience live and it doesn't work. But there are some people who get better at that second bit, you know, and they improve. So I think there's no doubt that it's changed the world of comedy. It's changed everything in the world, really, as we know, and comedy is no exception. But to me, craft is something you build up over time. So for someone like Chris, who's been practicing it for 15 years, he's just using social media to promote what he already does very well. And I think that's the ideal use of it in terms of the live context.
You could put that into so many guises. Well, congratulations on the upcoming 30th edition of the festival. And of course, you are the man behind Subtitle, the European Film Festival, and also Kilconomics. So congratulations to you as well. If you want to get more details on what's happening for the Cat Laughs, there is that gala night on June 1st. There's two performances. There's going to be two shows in the Pembroke, and then everything will be up on the Cat Laughs website as time goes on. That is thecatlaughs.com. And Richard Cook, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Orla. I really appreciate it.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
It's the Sunday Grill on Mother's Day here on Beat 102-103, and hopefully you're lying in bed devouring your chocolates and cup of tea. And I mean that if you are a mother or not, because Mother's Day can bring up a whole gambit of emotions, as can motherhood itself. Luckily, Joe Heffernan, who is a counsellor and a psychotherapist, is on the phone to help us, and he is part of the Irish Association of Counsellors and Psychotherapists. Hello to you, Joe.
Hello, Orla. Hi.
How are you getting on? Happy Mother's Day. Are you celebrating anyone today?
Yes, we are indeed. My dear wife, Mary, and I hope our four boys will remember. I know they will remember the day too. So, the few flowers and a meal out this evening, Mother's Day, will... you know, will be our way of celebrating it for her and for me too.
Yes, all the celebrations. And some people say that boys aren't as good as remembering as maybe girls are, but I think we could prove that wrong, couldn't we?
Well, definitely. Our four lads now would be, you know, very on the ball with birthdays, and I'm quite certain they'll remember Mother's Day. If they don't, I'll remind them.
Good fella, that's what you need to do. Tell me, do you think motherhood has changed in a generation? Do you find there's a kind of a more stressful version of motherhood these days?
Without a doubt. I mean, I would talk to many mothers in my work, and you know, the amount of screen time that their younger children are engaging with, and the dangers that they perceive, and which in many cases are very real, on social media and all of that. That's something that, you know, didn't enter into the function of mothers or children not too terribly awfully long ago. So there are a lot of extra stresses, without doubt, I think, in today's world.
And how would you, what advice would you give to people who might be experiencing those extra stresses? What can they do to alleviate that?
Well, so very often in my own practice, if a person is, if we're dealing with anxiety, I would engage with what I call a stress test. It's a series of questions, and for each one that the answer is yes, that's a plus. And where one has to be skipped because it isn't a yes, well, we can look at that then afterwards. You know?
Would you give us an example of some of those questions?
A few of them to you?
Yeah, that would be brilliant. Thank you.
Okay. Well, the first one anyway is I eat at least one hot balanced meal a day.
Okay, that's fairly doable.
And most people, I think, would be ticking that one and saying yes. And, you know, something that we can be grateful for. There are many people who won't have a hot balanced meal in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another one is I get 7 to 8 hours of sleep at least 4 nights a week.
Okay.
Another one is I give and receive affection regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is I exercise to the point of perspiration at least twice a week.
Okay.
Another one is I do not smoke. Another one is I have an income adequate to meet my basic expenses. So the likes of those now, all you know, there are the full gamut of that test is in about 20 questions.
Okay.
And a person would get a fair picture afterwards. I mean, if they had, you know, 13, 14, 15 yeses, well, then one would be saying, that looks good.
Okay.
And if a person had very few of the items ticked, well, then, would be appropriate to have a think about them and a talk about them.
And do you feel with those questions, and as you said, it is a stress test, that if people even focused on doing some of those, I know you were saying to me off air that one of them is having a support system and having friends and a social life.
Yes.
If people could meet some of those things, that your stress would lessen?
Absolutely. I mean, one of them that wouldn't get ticked could be simply turned into a goal. And that, I'm going to have a look at that. I'm going to make a few phone calls or I'm going to send a couple of texts. There are some people that, I suppose, COVID had the effect of usual social interactions being broken.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very stressful time. And some of the habits, the good habits that were lost then, can be recovered now.
Mm-hmm.
For example, going to whatever social activities one used to go to and meeting with friends that one used to meet.
Yeah, also important. What about people who might be grieving today and that Mother's Day is a trigger, Joe? They might have lost their own mum, for example, or they might be dealing with another loss, or it could be just a trigger because Mother's Day, especially as you said on the in the advent of online, that people are very gushing on Mother's Day, and that can be a bit of a trigger for people who might not be in the place that they want to be in their life right now.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we would experience that in our own family now on Mother's Day. Our eldest son is living out in the Cayman Islands, 7,500 kilometres away. And, you know, it will be, we miss him every day, but it will be particularly poignant on Mother's Day. Times can be tough like that. Plus the fact that the child, is not well at the moment.
So an added stress.
Also, there's the issue of bereavement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we think of, well, I think of my mother that was on Mother's Day, and she's no longer with us. That brings up my dad as well. And those issues can be very, very to the fore on Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what
you
can
know,
people
person,
do in that sense? Hmm? What could people do if they're feeling like that?
Well, I suppose one would have to have a look at where they are with their grieving. I mean, the end of the grieving process, or well, the point that we need to get to eventually is acceptance. Depending on time, if the bereavement, if the death was, you know, a year, 2 years, well, then it's understandable that, you know, it's very high on the list of thoughts that one would have. Whereas if it was a long, long time ago and it's still taking up most or a lot of our day, well, then we need to have a look at it and have a chat with a trusted friend, or even if it was impinging on living one's life, well, then maybe to go to a professional person. There are, I think it's 2,500 psychotherapists in IACP. Mm-hmm. And if one looks up iacp.ie, there's a list, and it's one clicks on find a counsellor, and each area in the country is dealt with. For example, in my own case, Cork County, there's also Cork City, there's okay. also every other county right. in the country,
okay.
and one will find someone within very reasonable distance of one's home.
Brilliant.
And maybe that would be a way to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. Some great advice there, Joe, on this Mother's Day. As you said, that is IACP.ie. It's the Irish Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy. And as a counsellor and psychotherapist, you are a member of that. And on the homepage is where you'll find that directory. And it's just a drop down for all the different therapeutic services that are there. So they're all broken down as well. And you could find something that works for you. Joe, thanks for talking to us on this very, you know, very nuanced day Mother's Day is. And I hope that Mary, your wife, has lots of celebrations today. Thanks a million for joining me.
I thought so too. Okay. Thanks, Orla.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102, 103.
Across the southeast, it's Beat 102 and 103. You're listening to The Sunday Grill. It is, well, tonight is a big night if you love your movies. It's Oscar night. Thank God it's not right now, because we would be in a state of panic trying to name all the Oscar winners. And also, I'd be very tired because I once stayed up for the Oscars and I lasted, but it ruined the rest of my week.
Really?
Yeah, it's a really, have you done it?
Have I done it?
You have.
I make an event of it.
Like, some of the awards are very boring, Brian.
I shout at the telly. I'm there at my predictions beforehand and I write them out. I spent like
and what do you do when it's like best technical drawing of, you know, all those really boring ones?
I care, Orla, about the whole...
Oh, okay, sorry.
I care about all of cinema.
Don't.
I care about everybody. But because I know, because see, the thing is, I've worked at so many things and it's like, I'm aware of what the process goes into. But I also know that, like, I know I have my friends and that I know that they are looking up to this, and for them, this is the biggest award, you know? So it's like, I understand the meaning of it now. Because like, you appreciate it. You know, or you just don't get it. You just don't get it.
Have you finished? So I tuned out there completely.
Yeah. Go on.
Obviously, lots of Irish people in it. And of course, Poor Things leading the way for Ireland in many senses as well.
And Cillian Murphy.
And Cillian Murphy, of course. Yes, I know, I was getting there. I was actually getting there. And I love looking at things like Best Documentary Short and Best Documentary Feature Film. I love all those sort of things because I will watch those things later on in the year as well.
Yeah.
But will we talk about the highest paid actor in Hollywood?
Yeah.
For last
mad,
year. Absolute craziness. And it's not the person that you think you are thinking of right now. Maybe you're thinking of Margot Robbie or one of those Oscar contenders. We are talking about Adam Sandler.
Yeah, if you're thinking of Adam Sandler, you were correct.
Last year, he made over $70 million. And a lot of it has to do with Netflix. And we've spoken about this before. He is in this brilliant deal with Netflix to produce, to star, just to make.
And he's making some great stuff.
And he is making some great stuff because we have seen an awful lot of TV series be made by people who might have done well on American channels and then go to Netflix, and it all just seems to fall apart,
yeah.
I think, you know. But Adam is doing so well. The last time we talked, it was about Leo the Lizard.
Yes. Oh,
which
yes.
was very successful in my house. And also successful in my house was You're So Not Coming to My Bat Mitzvah.
We were only talking about that the other day at lunch in work, and I was
loved it.
I like teared up at the end of it. So...
When you were talking about it.
Yeah, we were talking about it at lunch and I said I teared up at the end of the movie.
Oh, okay. I thought you had a tear at lunchtime.
No.
Very embarrassing.
I only did that in the toilets after.
So now we're going to talk about Spaceman.
Yeah.
And this is something completely different.
Completely
from
different. Yeah, 100%.
Well, like Spaceman kind of tells you what the idea is. So let's play a clip. And it really goes a bit left field. And we're not giving anything away in saying that, aren't we not?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's funny because we're going to hear some voices.
Yeah.
And I don't know what clip you're going to use now. But
now, the voice that you're talking about comes at the very end of this, okay?
Okay, so...
So this is kind of the setup.
What we're explaining is where those voices are coming from is the interesting thing.
And we're
thing.
Okay with that.
Yeah.
On behalf of the Eurospace program... 189 days into your solo journey.
Commander Prohaska, how are you feeling? What I'm doing is for everyone back home, and that makes me very proud.
And your wife, Lenka, of course.
I'm sure she's looking forward to having you home safe and sound.
He's not doing well. He misses his wife.
And he shouldn't have left.
Six months in isolation. You stop thinking too much.
I'm getting an appearance.
I did not intend to frighten you, skinny human. Do not be afraid.
I'm losing my mind.
There you go, that is the voice. So explain this, and this is, Adam is checking this. He's a Czech astronaut called Jacob.
Jacob.
So he's up in, Jacob, always correcting me.
Yeah. You better check yourself.
Yeah. Just remember it was International Women's Day a few days ago, so it's you not, better check yourself.
No, yeah, so he's a Czechoslovakian cosmonaut, actually. Okay. So he's they're pushing to the edge of space. I think it's set around 1989, I might be wrong, but I think I remember seeing that at the start. And he's in space going towards like this cloud of energy thing. And it's like, I feel like it's one of those things where it's like things in real life. I don't know much about space.
Okay.
So it's like, it's one of those things you'd see pictures of. They were, this picture was taken very nicely of this thing. You're like, wow. But it looks fantastic as well. Like, I know an Adam Sandler movie, you're not expecting the CGI or whatever to be stunning looking film. But he's basically trying to grab this kind of energy from the edge of this thing, and it's preparation for that.
Okay.
But he's been on his own for 189 days.
So is that a bit
far
fetched, or?
No, he's been on his own for 189 days.
Okay, that's the real premise.
And him being in space is just like basically how distant he is from everything, you know? And it's basically what happens is he's visited by a creature, which is a massive spider.
Okay.
Played by Paul Dano. And it's like, you think this is like a setup for a comedy, but it is, it's basically, and it's funny that we were like, while we, with that clip on, we were just chatting about like memories of people that were here before, because this is all about like it, as he's getting closer, this energy is basically memories and stuff. Like it's like,
the spider
you can
is.
See kind of time. No, the spider was also using his powers to show him like memories and different times in his life, and it's like looking back on stuff. But I thought it was actually a really, really good movie. Like it was very introspective. Like Carey Mulligan's in it as well, and she's fantastic. And
she's in so much at the moment.
Yeah, Kunal Nair, who was Raj in Big Bang Theory, is in it as well. So you're like, this cast, like those four people, how did they get them together to work? It's pretty much centered around those four people as well, you know? And it's just, I thought it was really, really good. Like it was just, Adam Sandler is one of those people that when he's in a movie, you're just like, who doesn't like Adam Sandler? You know, it's like, and he's there and he's having a bad, like he's just going through it and he's clearly depressed. And you're like, please don't be depressed, Adam Sandler. We like you too much.
And it's funny because when we think about the lizards and the You're So Not Coming to My Bat Mitzvah, and then Adam Sandler of the noughties, you know, the chick flick kind of movies that he did.
Yeah.
He's had this arc.
He punched drunk love as well. He just kind of, every now and again, he just kind of comes out of this with just an insanely different performance. But I think it's one of those things where it's like, he can't act. And he whips it out and he's like, he can.
Yeah.
And like, he's just, like, he's silly in these other movies, but.
And I don't expect to see him on the red carpet. I don't expect to see him at any awards ceremony.
And he'll have shorts and a t-shirt on.
Yeah.
And I've utmost respect for a person like that. Because
maybe that's the way to do fame, eh?
The way he does things, Adam Sandler is like one of my genuine heroes because. The way he does fame is not like, oh, he's going to become as famous as possible. I don't think he could care less if he was famous or rich. He makes movies with his friends. The writers for his movies have been his writers since the beginning. All his SNL friends are in it. His wife is always in every movie he does. His kids are in the majority of them. He has fun in the majority of them. Any of his friends that are like not getting work, he gives work to. And it's just like, he always had the respect of, like, he never disowned his friends for fame or anything like that. And like, while he's always saying, oh, he can't act or whatever, does he need to? Do you know? And then he whips out something like this and it's like, if this was somebody else, if this was Timothy Chalamet or if this was like whatever, this would be like, oh my God, this is an insane Oscar-worthy performance. But because the name attached to it, it's like he's not seen as that.
And that happens with so many actors as well, really, doesn't it? Yeah. Even the Jennifer Anistons of the world. I know she was nominated before for an Oscar, but that was almost like made the news worldwide because we don't expect these from people where they start their acting lives.
Yeah, but like Eddie Murphy in Dolomite Is My Name, like I made you watch that and you really enjoy that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like Daveen Joy Randolph, who's like favored to win Best Supporting Actress, was an like best like actress in that, and I thought she could have been for an Oscar in that, but because Eddie Murphy was the main character.
Mm.
It's like, it's not because, oh, he's funny, man. It's like, just because funny yeah. doesn't, like, do you mean, it always annoys me.
Maybe that's the next thing that Oscars and the Academy
maybe
should
I get
think
out of
about.
The Academy.
Yeah, they are. Imagine. Let's add Brian.
Yeah, I think
because
so.
Because he hasn't got a big enough head as it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's add him to an Academy, not necessarily
yeah.
the Oscars.
Perfect. I'll make my own.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, look, it's doing well and he is doing well. $73 million made in 2023, according to Forbes. Do you know who else is in there? The top 10?
Tom Cruise is number 3, I think.
Which is crazy. Well, I suppose he has had movies
Mission
recently.
Impossible.
Ryan Gosling, Margot Robbie is number 2 at 59
yeah,
million.
Makes sense.
Jennifer Aniston is in there, 42 million last year. Matt Damon, Leonardo DiCaprio, Jason Statham. Fair play to Jason.
Fair
I say
play.
Fair play, Jason. Ben Affleck and Denzel Washington is number 10.
Are they like the biggest movie stars? Is that the kind of the list to be like, these are the biggest movie stars?
Jason Statham, really?
No. I mean, I don't know.
No, Ryan Gosling. Some of them are the biggest movie stars at the moment. But look, if we were to look at who was at the award ceremonies last year versus this year, it's a fickle world. No, I have not seen Colin Farrell at one award ceremony.
Or Brendan Gleeson.
Like, wouldn't you be really fed up if you were invited to all the things last year and then this year you get no invites?
I think the first time you would be. Like,
yeah.
I think that's something that would really...
Yeah.
I think that would be something that could end a career, honestly, because mm-hmm. you're like, I've wasted my peak or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like at his stage of his career, it's probably happened 3 or 4 times now.
Oh, yeah. And he comes back.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like you're in, you get your... So you get your 15 minutes of fame, but then you get into the spotlight. Mm.
And
then
you get
your 15 minutes in the main spotlight.
Yeah.
And I feel like that he understands now.
Yeah,
that
I would have major FOMO and would have to turn off all my social media for at least 2 weeks until everything died down.
I'd be probably going to get a takeaway or something. That's my answer. I'll probably just go get a takeaway this evening.
That's his answer
anyway,
to everything.
So
let's black pudding spaceman, please.
So do you know what's funny about this? In a strange twist of fate, this is a more serious drama about introspection and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And normally I give this lower than everyone else.
Okay.
I watched it and I was like, that's an 8 out of 10 movie straight off the bat, right? And I did not see anywhere giving it above like 60.
I saw that on IMDb and everything.
And
I was so
confused.
Come on, you go against the curve.
Well, that's so unlike me.
So unlike you.
But I just genuinely thought it was just such a solid movie. Like I thought it was, I couldn't look away from it. Like.
Okay.
And I don't know what it is that spoke to me. Maybe it's because it was Adam Sandler. Maybe it's because I was like...
8 out of 10 anyway.
I give it 8 out of 10.
That was very long-winded. Thank you very much. On Netflix.
Grand, I just want to... Oh, next week I'll be like, yeah, it's good, yeah. Grand.
8 out of 10 black puddings. Brian's off now to just get all the walking and energy drinks into his system because tonight is the night.
I'm going to prep.
A full night up watching the Oscars.
They're actually an hour earlier tonight.
What time are they on at?
11 maybe.
Okay. Well, you enjoy
that. They're still going to go on long, so.
Don't text me.
Oh, I will. Oh,
please
now
don't.
I wasn't going to, but now I definitely will. Absolutely.
Goodbye.
Every single award text you. The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.